6 months till Brexit, and the IMF has a warning for both sides. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. Speaking this morning in London, the IMF's Christine Lagarde warned that a no-deal Brexit would entail substantial costs for the UK economy and, to a lesser extent, EU economies. Meanwhile, Prime Minister Theresa May is sticking to her controversial Brexit plan, which pleases neither Europe nor the hardline Brexit supporters in her own party and could threaten her leadership. But as she told the BBC today, it is her plan or no plan.
This debate is not about my future. This debate is about the future of the people of the UK and the future of the United Kingdom. That's what I'm focused on, and that's what I think we should all be focused on. It's ensuring that we get that good deal from the European Union, which is good for people in the UK.
The BBC's Chris Morris explains that for business, time to prepare for any outcome has run out.
If there were to be no deal on a withdrawal agreement, this report from the Institute for Government says that the government now would be unable to avoid major negative impacts across most areas of the economy. But even if there is a deal, which is obviously what the government wants, we then would enter this 21-month transition period. And the report says it is totally unfeasible, that's their words, to agree and ratify a free trade deal in that time. And it compares it to other big government projects recently. The automatic enrolment of pensions, 11 years. Preparations for the London Olympics, 11 years. Digitising tax, 5 years. The Brexit transition would be 21 months. They say essentially at some stage the government's going to have to make a decision between time or quality.
Chris Morris, let's do the numbers. Adding to the uncertainty are reports that Deutsche Bank, under pressure from regulators over the size of its UK operations, is accelerating plans to move hundreds of billions in assets to Frankfurt. Hong Kong's Hang Seng is down more than 1% after a super typhoon made landfall in China over the weekend. Now, Unilever, the Anglo-Dutch firm that makes Dove soap, wants to scrap its dual national structure and move the company out of the UK to the Netherlands to provide better corporate governance. But one of its biggest shareholders says it plans to vote against the move, which would take the company out of the FTSE 100 and force funds that use the benchmark to sell their holdings. David Cumming is the Chief Investment Officer for Equities at Aviva Investors.
There's no benefit to UK shareholders as a consequence of this move. It looks that Unilever is really moving to a Dutch jurisdiction where it thinks it's a little bit better protected. It denies that, but that after 90 years with the dual structure, it seems a little bit of a coincidence. Unilever need to get 75% of their UK shareholders to vote to enable them to leave the UK. I think they will struggle because I don't see logically why any UK shareholder would support Unilever's decision to go Dutch, because there's no upside and we lose an excellent company like Unilever from our index.
David Cumming. Now, can cities be racist, ageist, sexist? Fewer than one in every 10 architects in Britain is black or Asian. Less than a third are women. I caught up with Christine Murray, editor-in-chief of the Architectural Review and founder of Women in Architecture in East London, to find out more.
So we're in Dalston in Hackney, and it's a neighbourhood that's incredibly diverse.
We're standing in a market that really reminds me of the kinds of bustling markets you find in Asia or Africa. But right across there is a major train station, and that's one example of infrastructure that doesn't really work, in your opinion.
They've just redone the station. It's beautiful, it's shiny, but they didn't put in any kind of escalator, lift, for anyone who's carrying a suitcase in a wheelchair with a kid. Who is that station for?
Do you think that diversity in architecture really matters? I mean, does being a different gender or race necessarily mean that there would be a different station there?
Well, first of all, the architecture community is not particularly diverse or gender equal. I don't think that women design differently to men, but I think that all of our experiences as individuals, that lived experience, is a great educator. If you've been on mat leave and you've pushed a buggy every day for 6 months, you've carried that pushchair up and down stairs, these are really things that will improve inform your design later. So if you're not around the table and you haven't lived that, you can't share that experience.
So you've been imagining how cities might look if a diverse group of people designed them.
There might be toilets when you need them. This is an assumption that you should go in and buy a coffee to use the bathroom, which is kind of a false economy because you're putting more fluids in and then you have to take your fluids out. Places to sit down, benches have been removed. So I think there is this sense that the city is designing people out. I think teenagers are the ones who are often pushed out of places. There's always these little brackets put on benches to stop them bringing their, you know, kind of doing the skateboard thing alongside.
It's okay, you and I aren't skateboarders, but we get what you're saying.
And I think if they designed it, they'd probably create some great places for them to hang out.
I love that you also say there would be phone chargers everywhere. I suppose people could argue, well, the elderly, teenagers and mothers with small children aren't necessarily contributing as much to the economy, so why should a city spend money to make them more comfortable?
We're all going to be working until we're old nowadays, and I think a lot of these neighborhoods were built when you had single men going to work. It's changed. The business worker is no longer single, white, and male, and I think that our cities need to change and our approach to design needs to change.
That's architect Christine Murray. In London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.